Okay, so like I did this morning, I do say things like, and I mean it, you know, when we're praising and worshiping, we should be, don't worry about anybody else, what else is going on around you. That's true, we need to remember that. Although sometimes I get so involved when I'm doing, I realize that poor Christian, I'm not really aware of, I move all over the place. And I keep, like three times I realize, probably all Christian can see is the back of my jacket. He can't see anything else but the back of my jacket. But I do appreciate it. It means so much to me that Christian, that Sarah, that Tanner and Julie, that it touches my heart that they, even though they're in Richmond, at Liberty, in Indiana, that they desire to be here. So I tell you guys all the time, you know, when all of a sudden someone else's face here in the body comes to your mind, you know, the times that all of these individuals are here, see their faces, know them, get to know them when they're here, because they're a part of this body, and it's a treasure to my heart that they're here. So get to know them. So when you see their faces, when the Holy Spirit brings their faces to your mind, you can stand in the gap and pray for them as well. Amen? All right, so this last Sunday, of course, was Super Bowl Sunday. And as I was watching the Super Bowl, I was surprised, and I was actually a little bit stunned and astonished. And I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but I was surprised at how many commercials or promos there were that were things that appeared to be really dark or sometimes even evil. I mean, I was surprised by how many of those things that I saw. Donna and I have learned to very quickly turn the channel anytime the Holy Spirit shows us, or just with our eyes we see that something disturbing is coming. We're very quick to change the channel because we don't want to have those images in our minds at all. In fact, I've come to realize the more that we endeavor to protect our hearts from those images of the world, those dark images, those oftentimes evil images, the more that we endeavor to protect our hearts against those images, the more disturbing it is when we're actually exposed to them. And that's a good thing, because that means that our hearts are becoming more tender, like the Holy Spirit that is in us. And that's what I want. I mean, that's what we want. We want to have that tenderness of heart, like the Holy Spirit. You know, the flesh sometimes can desire those things. But the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit is calling and pulling and speaking to your soul. And your soul desires, it truly desires to have that sensitivity of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ in you. So you don't want those images to have anything to do with you. Here's the reality. The less that the world impacts or influences, the less that the world presses into my thoughts, the less that the world presses into my thoughts, the more that the nature of Jesus Christ, the less of the nature of the world, the more of the nature of Jesus Christ that fills me. Less of the world, more room for Jesus. That's what I want. Now, I will tell you in all honesty that I've experienced the polar opposite in my life also. And that is, the more that I am exposed to the carnality of the world, the less sensitive I am to Him. And the less I'm able to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me. We need to shelter our minds so that the world does not press in to our thoughts. Shelter our minds so that the nature of Christ can displace the nature of the carnal world that is in me. Because when that happens, that's when I'm able to walk in greater revelation, in greater victory, and in greater peace in my life. Truly, that is when I am in the best position to receive the things the Lord has for me. Now, in my notes, I highlighted that line, so it's kind of important, all right? The more I get those images out of my mind, I am positioning myself to receive all of the good things that Jesus has already established for me. We want to make sure we position ourselves. And part of positioning, as we're going to see this morning, is making sure that those images don't invade our minds. Because in this culture and in this life and in this world, those images are going to be there. And that's why Don and I are so quick. As soon as we see that, we want to remove those images so that they do not invade our minds. I'm going to tell you a statement, and I hope you're going to agree that this, which I'm about to say, is a spiritual truth. It's a spiritual axiom, all right? So here's the statement. Everything you will ever need, every victory, every deliverance, every promised blessing is already established for you in Jesus Christ. It is already done. It is a reality in the spiritual realm, and it's just waiting for us to possess and manifest it here in this natural realm. Okay, good. We're all coming from the same place. See, for me, that is, it's a truth. It's an undeniable, it's an unimpeachable, it's an unequivocal truth. All of those statements, that is the truth. That is what we desire. Everything we need is already established. I want to live it and experience it. He provided it for you. He provided it for me. I want to experience it. So I had to put myself in the best possible position to experience those things. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. This is verses 6 and 7. This is one of those verses that I come back to all the time. If you've been coming to City on Hill, there's probably about 10 verses that you see a lot. This is one of them. This is going to be in the Amplified Bible. Ephesians 2, 6 through 7. I am way thrown off having you guys in the front row. That's just way. That's good. Good job, Tilly. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him. That is something you should picture in your mind. This is a spiritual reality. You can't see it in the physical, but right now in Jesus Christ, we are seated with him. He's given us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere. Did I say that right? I can never get that word right. By virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, he did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor in his kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Jesus Christ. Wow, revel in that. That's awesome. This is who we are. You have been elevated in Jesus Christ above all of the destructions, above all of the failures, above all the defeats of the world. You've been elevated above all those things. And you are seated with him in all of his victories. And you are jointly seated with him in all that is his. And in all that is his, he's given it to you. This is the limitless riches, the unmerited favor that Jesus has for you. Now, I think all of us would accept everything I've just said. We'd accept all of that as truth. But the reality is we don't always live that out or experience it in our lives. Why? Okay, well, that's way too big of a topic for one morning. But there's a lot of factors that are in that. But in part, and this is the thing I want to focus on this morning, in part that's true because we have not put ourselves in the position. We've not put ourselves in the position to receive his grace gifts for us. We have to put ourselves in the position. And there are certain things that will take us out of that position. It just makes it harder. Jesus has all these things for us. He wants us to have them. He paid a high price that we could have each one of them. We need to make sure that we are positioned to receive those things. Being in the right position is imperative to receiving. Being in the right position is imperative to your receiving. Let's go back to last Sunday, the Super Bowl. How many of you guys watched the Super Bowl? But that is it. Come on, really? And you guys are doing it like this. Come on. Thank you. Yeah. All right. So if you watch the Super Bowl, then you probably remember. If you didn't, I'll show it to you in just a second. But you probably remember. Do you guys remember that catch that Julian Edelman made for the New England Patriots? It was a catch that he made against three Falcon defenders. Caleb, let me see that first picture. So this is a picture. This is Julian Edelman. Can you turn off these lights? So this is Julian Edelman. Now, You can't. You, there's three guys that are there. This is one of the greatest catches in the history of the Super Bowl. I mean, you can hardly see it, but where the football is, it's just like 5 inches off the ground. And look, his hands aren't even there yet. And yet he was able to get his hands with three guys on him, get his hands under it, and receive that football. It's one of the greatest receptions in the history of the Super Bowl. Now, I'm going to ask you to bring up that next picture. This picture is just a fraction of a second before them. And this is what I want you to see. Only one person is in the position to receive the ball. Now, you got these three Atlanta Falcons. Look, this guy, he's got his hands out. He wants to receive. There's a lot of times we want to receive. He's not in the position to receive. I mean, even if no one else is there, the football's going to fall way short. He wants to receive, but he's not in the position. Well, this guy, he's just going to be embarrassed when he sees this picture the rest of his life. He is in no position to receive. This guy up here, he wants to receive, but notice Julian Edelman is pushing him out of the position to receive. That happens to us. We allow that to happen in our lives a lot, where we allow things, and it's oftentimes the images of the world, we allow things to push us out of the position to receive. Only one person was in position to receive that football, and it was Julian Edelman. We need to be, if we want to receive the things of God, the blessings, all that he has for us, be like Julian Edelman. He went to Kent State, which is another good thing, yeah. Be like Julian Edelman. Put yourself in the position. I need to put myself in the best position to receive the things that Jesus has for me. Now, you can put the lights back up, Caleb. When I spend time in the Word of God, when I spend time in prayer with Him, these things prepare me to receive all of the things He has for me. When I praise Him from a grateful heart with expectancy, and when I speak His Word in faith, I'm actually releasing all of those things from the spiritual realm into this natural realm. But the question is, am I in the position to receive those blessings that He has for me? Have I put myself in the position? I'm prepared. I've released them. Have I put myself in the position to receive all of those blessings that He has for me? When I allow my mind, my thoughts, my soul, when I allow my mind and my thoughts, my soul, to be flooded with the things of the world and to be flooded with the images of the world, I lose my sensitivity to the things of Jesus. The images of the world, those things will harden my heart. It hardens my heart and it causes my soul to lose its tenderness for Jesus. And then losing touch with Jesus' nature, I have taken myself out of position to receive everything that He has prepared for me. A lot of receiving comes down to me and the choices that I make, and they might seem small, but this is why it's so important for us to guard our hearts, our minds, and the things that we see, because this world has all kinds of things that isn't helpful for us. It'll take us out of position to receive the things that Jesus has for us. We need to be cognizant and make sure that we are putting ourselves in the right position. Let's go back to Corinthians. This is 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10, and then we're going to skip down to verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, and then verse 12. I love the sound of Bible pages turning. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Go down to verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Flesh cannot receive the things that God has prepared for me, but the Spirit can. So when my eyes see the carnal things of the world, my eyes taking in those carnal things hardens my heart, and it makes it hard for me then to believe and to receive. But I have His Spirit in me, His Spirit, which is searching the deep things of God. And so I am in Him, and in Him I am able to believe and to receive, but it's in Him. All that makes sense? In the Holy Spirit, I am able to receive all of the promised blessings, all the deliverances, all the victories, every good thing Jesus has prepared for me. In the Holy Spirit, I'm able to receive those things. So it's important for me to make sure that I am protecting my mind, my thoughts, my soul, protecting it from all of those things that would take me out of position, protecting me from all those images of the world. Because all those things will do is fill me with uncertainty and doubt. We think that it's sometimes innocent. We think sometimes that we are strong. We think that those things won't affect us. But when we allow those images, and when I speak about images, I mean, there's no limitation what I'm talking about, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, all the different images, anything that you see that is contrary to the Word of God, if it gets in here, it hardens my heart and it makes it harder for me to believe and to receive, because I'm filled with things of the world, the thoughts of the world, the images that are contrary to Him. In biblical vernacular, what it comes down to is getting rid of graven images. And I know you're sitting there thinking, oh good, I got this one. No problem. I don't have any graven images. There's no idols in my house. I have no Asherah poles standing in my backyard. I haven't set up a golden calf for my family to worship. I'm good. Golden. There are no images, no graven images in my house. I'm good. But consider, because God said about the idols of the Old Testament, God called the idols of the Old Testament graven images. Now, graven just means carved. But they were images. And part of the definition of image, it is a mental picture of something. So in other words, graven images begin in the mind, in the brain. Graven images begin here with a mental image. What am I allowing into my mind? What am I allowing in here? Graven images begin with a mental picture, a mental image. And then the Israelites took those mental images and they made them into tangible representations or idols of what those images were. You know, we don't think we're doing it, but that's exactly what we do when we allow some of those images into our minds, our souls, which are supposed to be tender, pure, tender in Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that we're not allowing those images, the images of the world, into us, those graven images. Now the Israelites, think about what they did. The Israelites saw the images. They saw the images of the cultures that were around them. And they gave place to those images. They entertained those images in their minds. And it hardened their hearts towards God. And when their hearts were hardened towards God, they turned away from God, and thus they were no longer in the position to receive the promises that God had for them. Look at this verse from Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah chapter 4. I'm going to show you verse number 14. Now, I'm going to show you this to you in the Jubilee Bible. I haven't used that before, but I love the way the Jubilee Bible actually says this one verse. The Jubilee Bible is a Bible that it's like a word-for-word translation. So, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse number 14. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou may be saved. How long shall thou entertain the thoughts of thy iniquity within thee? Judah had to wash. Judah had to cleanse her heart. What's the heart? The heart remembers the soul. The soul is our mind, our thoughts, our personality, the unique creation of you. We're expected to take responsibility for that. Israel had to cleanse their heart. Invasion and captivity was coming because Judah entertained evil thoughts and evil images. Evil images are going to come against me. They're going to come at me in this world. Evil images are going to come. But the question is, what do I do with those images when they come? Do I entertain them? Do I entertain them in my thoughts? Or instead, do I endeavor to safeguard my heart against all of those images? Understand this. Images are powerful things. Images are powerful. Now, if you've been here before, I'm going to give you two examples, and I've used these both before. Maybe you've forgotten them, and it'll sound new and fresh. Maybe I'll embellish it a little bit more, so it'll sound better. I don't know. But they're both illustrations that really speak to this, which I'm talking about today. This is how powerful images are. And this is why it's so important that we safeguard our soul against images. When I was 6 years old, my father, my mother, my brother, and my sister, who was like one, we were down in Florida visiting my aunt and uncle. So I was 6 years old. And I remember we were watching TV at my uncle's house. And we were watching some TV show. This is in the 1960s, so you know it's a really campy show. It was in black and white. But as a six-year-old, this is what I saw and this is what I understood. There was a bad guy and there was a hero. And the hero was trying to catch the bad guy. And the bad guy took an apple and he put poison in it. Now, here's the image. On this grainy black and white TV, I could see this apple, and he had carved like a little circle where it was like a little Cheerio, is what it looked like, on the apple. That's where the poison was. And the hero ate the apple and died. I was stunned. I mean, as a six-year-old, I was stunned. I know. I irritated my father to no end the rest of that vacation because my six-year-old mind could not comprehend. Wait a minute. He's the good guy. How did the bad guy win? And I couldn't comprehend it or understand it. That was such a powerful image. I can see the bad guy. He had a cape on. I mean, this is how campy all this was. But 6 years old, 50 years later, I can still remember the emotions that I felt as a six-year-old. I can recall them. That's how powerful images are. Images are powerful things. Images make a huge impact. Probably 4 years ago, it's when I was still managing Yes FM. There was a company that approached us, and they wanted us to promote a movie. And it was a movie, I think it was called The Conjuring, I can't remember. It was a movie about demon possession. But they wanted us to promote it because there was a couple that was in it that was the featured couple, and they delivered the household from all these demons. And so they wanted us to advertise. Well, I watched the three-minute trailer online, and the three-minute trailer was like, oh, my gosh. And so there was people on staff who wanted us to do this because they wanted to pay us money and they wanted to, you know, have tickets we would give away. And I said, I can't send people to this movie. I got to go see what this is first before we can do it. So I'll tell you the end of the story first, and then I'll tell you the point. The end of the story is, as it turns out, this couple did bring some deliverance, but they brought the deliverance in, it was with rituals. It was with religious rituals. So if you went to the movie and you thought that there was, you know, some kind of being able to get free from demonic possession, he said nothing about the Word of God, nothing about the name of Jesus, none of that was there. So we wouldn't have done it anyway. But before I knew that, I went to the movie anyway. But this is how sensitive I am to images. The guy from the station that I went with, I told him, I said, listen, as soon as all the previews are done, I'm just telling you, I'm closing my eyes. Because I saw that trailer, whatever's coming on that screen, I don't want to see it. I don't want those images in my mind. I don't want images that I got to deal with later. And I know he thought I was an idiot. And for an hour and 45 minutes, I sat there in that movie theater with my eyes tightly shut. Hearing what I heard was enough to let me know I didn't want to see anything. But that's because I understand the power of images, and I don't want to have to deal with images because there is power that is in those images. The more that I allow images that are contrary to God and God's heart, the more I allow those images in my soul, the more desensitized I become to the darkness of those images. The more the tenderness of my heart that Jesus wants, the more my tender heart becomes darkened. And then that renders me unable to operate in faith, taking me out of position to receive all the things that he wants for me. There's another verse. We're going to stay in Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah chapter 4. We're going to go back 13 verses. Jeremiah 4, verse 1. If you'll return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will, put away. If I could orange highlight, I would orange highlight right there. Put away. If you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved. If we will put away all of those things that usher in the graven images, if we will not allow any of the world's images to ever reach our eyes, you shall not be moved from your position of receiving all of his great and precious promises. This is not a new thing. This is something that God was speaking even back through the prophet Jeremiah. Allowing the darkened images or the images of the world into my heart and my soul, into my mind, into my thoughts, all that does is make it more difficult for me to receive the things that Jesus has for me. It just makes it more difficult. I know people, because they've come up to me and told me, you've probably seen the same thing, Christians that have come up to me and they've told me, and not just one, not just two, I'm talking about more than a dozen times this has happened, where Christians will tell me, I can see those kinds of things, it doesn't affect me. And I'm talking about not just scary movies, I'm not just talking about slasher movies, I'm talking about just anything that even presents any kind of immoral images. And they say, oh, those images don't affect me. Listen, I am telling you universally, because I've watched, universally, those people are not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't say this part is universal, but I would guess there's a good possibility of it. I know a lot of them struggle to receive the things. They're not walking in all the things that God has for them. And it's not because God's holding it back. They're just not in the position. They've taken themselves out of position to receive the things that Jesus has for them and that he wants for them in their lives. We need to make sure that we keep all of those things out, because this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he has chosen to put his tender heart and his tender nature in here, into this temple. I should treasure that. I should do everything I can to protect that. This tender heart, this tender nature that Jesus has put in the temple, this temple of the Holy Spirit, this is something that we should safeguard vigilantly. We should safeguard it just as vigilantly as we would safeguard the tender innocence of a little child. Would we ever allow the images of the world to taint our children? No. In fact, we would do battle to protect the purity of those precious, delicate, little souls with that same aggressive vigilance. We should also safeguard our own souls, because you are a child of God. We should safeguard that, the tenderness of his heart and his nature that is in us. This is why Jesus says, he told us, watch, guard. In Matthew 26, verse number 41, he said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We say these things won't affect us, but they will. I want to make sure that I am like Julian Edelman. I want to be in a position, in that position. I don't want to be knocked out of position. I want to be in position to receive all of those things that Jesus has prepared and established for me. The graven images of this world, they are going to bombard us daily. Diligently, we must watch, guard, and protect our souls, our minds, our thoughts. And when the world's images do invade our minds, be aggressive. Don't align with them by entertaining them. Cast them out. Familiar verse for all of us. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We read this verse kind of passively, almost casually sometimes. I think we need to have a militant aggressiveness to come against every thought that is opposed to Jesus Christ. I should picture this with the militant kind of imagery, like any thought, any image of the world that is opposed to Jesus Christ, I aggressively and militantly come against in the authority of Jesus' name, so it is like a vanquished foe under my foot with my foot on his neck. In the authority of Jesus Christ, we need to forcefully remove any thoughts that Satan might be able to use to petrify our hearts, to make our hearts hard towards him. Because these things take us out of the position. These things take us out of position to receive. There needs to be some attitude behind standing on this particular verse. Now, those of you who know me, you know I love history. And I love historical movies. Some of you may remember this. About 20 years ago in the mid-90s, there was a movie that came out. It was called Saving Private Ryan. This was a movie that was about World War II, and it was mostly about D-Day. And I was so anxious to see this movie. I had a number of friends who knew that Donna wouldn't go to it, so they wanted to go with me to go see it. And I was so anxious to see it. I never saw it in the theaters. In fact, to this day, I've never seen Saving Private Ryan. Never seen it. It's been on TV numerous times, and I'm sure it's pretty innocuous on TV, but I've never seen it. You know why? Because my precious wife gently said to me, spoke to me, her concerns. And this is what she said. What she saw, as the tenderness of Jesus in my heart, she treasured that. And she knew, she told me, that if I saw some of those horrific images that I would certainly see, she knew it would taint the tenderness of my heart. It would affect my soul. And so I never saw it. In fact, that's one of the most dear things she's ever revealed to me. And because of that, it caused me to ferociously protect that which she cherishes. I want to make sure that this heart that she always sees, I want her to always see the tenderness of Jesus Christ in here. So I diligently protect that. And this is what we need to do, because images, they are powerful things. They're strong, and they're hard to overcome. We need to be aggressive and cast down any thought that is contrary to Jesus Christ. And we need to put under obedience every thought that might arise, because the world is going to put images that you can't avoid. But we need to put those things under the obedience of Christ. Now, the dark images, if I ever put myself in the position where those dark images do take me out of position to receive those things that Jesus has for me, how do I reposition myself? How do I get myself back in that position to be able to receive the things of Jesus? Here's the good news. It's really easy. It's not hard at all. This is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Just saying that, some of you already have these verses come to your mind. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The more I fill my mind with that which is good, that which is lovely, that which is pure, on praiseworthy things, the more the nature of Christ fills me. And the more the nature of Christ fills me, the better positioned I am to receive all the promises, all the victories, all the good things that He has for me. It's all about positioning. When I meditate, in other words, constantly concentrate on those things, when I meditate on those things that are praiseworthy, I have taken my seat. Scared y'all, didn't I? Sorry. I have taken my seat with Him in spiritual places. He's provided that joint seating with me, but it's when I do those things, that's when I take my seat there in every victory that He has for me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6. We're going to look at this again, but this is just from the straight New King James Bible. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Safeguard your soul, your heart, your mind, your thoughts. Safeguard your soul. And you're going to find the nature of Christ flows through you. But you will also feel. You will feel His passion. You will feel His empathy for others. You will feel His love for other people. You'll feel all of those things. Because it is the heart of Jesus Christ being expressed through us. The heart of Jesus Christ is revealed to us when we see how Jesus responded when His friend Lazarus died. Quite simply, it says, Jesus wept. Now, Jesus knew. He knew that in just minutes, Lazarus was going to raise from the dead again. He knew that. And yet He wept. Why? Because Jesus, it was an expression of His empathy for those who were suffering the pain of death. He knew what was coming, but He shared their hearts. The more that we get the world out of the way and the nature of Jesus flows through us, that same love of Jesus flows through you. You feel it. You feel His passion. You feel His love. You feel all of that empathy of Jesus Christ in us. When His heart becomes our heart, His love just pours right out of us. Our thoughts become His thoughts. Our heart becomes His heart. And we share and we feel His love and His empathy. You know, the more you have that nature of Christ flowing through you, ever felt this? All of a sudden, you just have an overwhelming sense of love for somebody that you can't explain. Sometimes you even find yourself in tears. You don't even know why when you're thinking about somebody. It is because you're allowing that nature of Christ. The more His nature is in me and flows through me, the more I experience everything. I feel what He feels. All of that passion, all that empathy, and all of that love. There's times I'm sitting in there getting ready for the message, and I'm just going through the Word of God. And sometimes just going through the Word of God. I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but it sounds silly, but I just all of a sudden, tears that I cannot stop, and there's no reason for it. There's nothing bad happened. No thought entered my mind. It is just the joy that I can't contain, that just overflows in tears. If we allow the love of Jesus, if we will position ourselves, put ourselves in that position, if we'll remove all those things that take us out of position, we'll feel and experience all of those things. Okay, here's something really embarrassing. Even to the point of, Donna and I will watch movies. We are watching, yeah, I can't look at you. We're watching movies, and sometimes I've noticed, I'll look at you eventually. Sometimes I notice that Donna will be sitting there, and we're watching these movies. I'll just look at you. We're watching these movies, and all of a sudden, we were watching John Adams. And when his wife Abigail dies, this is like about a five-part series. And when his wife dies, I wasn't ready for it. I mean, it wasn't just crying. It was like sucking, gasping. I had to get up and walk around because I couldn't get air in. And then I was even laughing because I was so uncomfortable crying that I was laughing. And I thought, well, this sounds even worse. And I picture, what does this sound like to Donna? Because these are not good sounds.